Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. John Gundy. He's the General Manager for Air and Ocean at Flyway, based in Auckland, New Zealand. First and foremost, John, very welcome to this interview.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bo, and pleased to share.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it's not every day we interview people from so far away. I mean, I'm in the north of Sweden and you are in the... in New Zealand, so we do have some distance, but I always allow my interviewees to elaborate a little bit on their career first. I mean, how come you ended up in shipping, and how come you're not a tour guide or sitting in a bank?
Yeah, very good questions, right? Look, for New Zealand, we're a maritime nation, so the shipping industry and logistics industry is a huge part of our economy and continues to grow. For me, I have a passion both for shipping and logistics, and I've been really fortunate. It's taken me around the world. I've lived in London, Netherlands, Australia, and of course New Zealand, where I currently live. Mm-hmm. So fortunate, very passionate about our industry, and have seen a lot of change over the last 30 years. And mostly for the positive.
Mm-hmm. That's good to hear. You are native New Zealander yourself, I suppose.
Yes, born and raised in New Zealand. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but not a flightless Kiwi.
No. So you are not originating from the West Island, as I know you call Australia, right?
That's exactly right. Yes.
That's good. We have to tell them off, you know. what can you tell our viewers about Flyway? Tell us about the company you established, who owns it?
Yeah, Flyway is 40 years young, or we've been around for 40 years. Mm-hmm. We have a team of 450 people. Okay. We're a national operation, so we have 20 sites in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And we operate with 215 of our own trucks.
Wow.
We're in fact, we're acquired last year, 1st of March 2022, mm-hmm. by New Zealand Post. So New Zealand Post being government owned. Mm-hmm. And New Zealand Post looks to expand its supply chain. Flyway competency and capability is strongly weighted towards logistics, warehousing, trucking, and of course air and ocean. We are very good at last mile as well. Mm-hmm. We do have our own app, Uber app, for delivery. And okay. do a lot of home delivery, two men in a truck,
okay.
And project-type freight.
Okay, that's pretty impressive. I mean, I never thought that, let's say, New Zealand Post or the Postal Authority would get into logistics in that kind of way. So they are really in there also to get, let's say, open market accounts. I mean, they are in there to really compete. Okay.
Yeah, very much so. Mm-hmm. You know, Flyway is able to offer a market segment that they can develop and grow into as mm-hmm. postal services wind down. Mm-hmm. They have a supply chain, so we're an attractive proposition to continue to build that supply chain.
Okay, cool. May I ask you, New Zealand consists mainly of the North and the South Island. Which are the main ports of New Zealand? Because maybe some of our viewers are not so familiar.
Yeah, if we think of New Zealand as a long, skinny country, 2,300 kilometres from top to bottom, mm-hmm. and we are probably an overserviced country with ports, which makes it difficult for shipping lines. So the main ports are in the North Island, Auckland and Tauranga. Auckland mm-hmm. primarily import, Tauranga primarily export.
Okay.
And then we move down, and it's very produce driven. We look at the Hawke's Bay, Napier, logs and fruit. Wellington has a port, relatively small. Top of the South Island, we have logs and fruit again, and Nelson. And then we go down to Lyttelton, a container port as well, and then Timaru and Port Chalmers. Okay. So a number of container ports, and quite difficult for shipping lines to service them all. in terms of rotation. So we've seen a lot of coastal services come on to try and bring freight to the North Island to reduce the amount of port calls. That's still work in progress.
And I recall when I visited your beautiful country a couple of years ago with my daughter, I took the train from Wellington to Auckland, and I did see a couple of containers kind of intermodal on rail. Is that highly used rail by intermodal?
Yeah, rail is probably underutilized, but its infrastructure, we're very focused and the government is supporting the development of rail in New Zealand, be it the build of rail wagons, be it the upkeep and maintenance of rail lines. A lot of our exports, if we look at dairy, which is a primary export for New Zealand, a lot of our dairy will go from dairy factory to port on rail. Right. One port I omitted from the first update was New Plymouth. New Plymouth is an important port, both for dairy and when we look at historic oil and gas as well. So oil and gas area there is important to New Zealand.
Very interesting. And for the country as New Zealand, I mean, we all follow politics a bit, and we know that China and India and US, they are everywhere. How would you say, who are your main trading partners worldwide?
Number one is China. Over the last 5 to 10 years, our growth of exports to China, dairy and meat has been very strong. Australia has been a primary export and import market for many years, and we have a special agreement there, CER. New Zealand really enjoys FTA agreements with a number of countries around the world.
That's interesting. And I noticed, because I used to live in China for some years, and I recall there were some investments by some Chinese companies, both into forest and to other, let's say, real estate in your country. So you are still, I mean, China is a huge, you import a lot, but you also export a lot. Do you have balance of trade with China at the moment?
Yeah, I don't have those figures. I recall it being about a $20 to $30 billion trade each way. China has invested in vertical integration into our dairy industry and now owns dairy plants.
And of course, I must say, whenever I go to a restaurant with either privately or with customers, I always ask for Marlboro, isn't it? Your good wine.
Yeah, the Marlboro. Yes, Sauvignon Blanc. Yes.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, the wine growth has been pretty significant. It's in excess of 1 billion a year now, and demand usually outstrips supply.
So you have worldwide export. I mean, it's containerized, I suppose, or is it tank containers? Or how is the wine exported?
Yeah, it is containerized. We don't do that low value Australian tank wine.
we have to give it to them, you know, as we say. Tell me about Flyway as such. I mean, are you? Let's say I'm a freight forwarder sitting in Singapore and I need to deliver something to the countryside in New Zealand. I could consign the shipment to you and you can do that. You can do the door delivery, right?
Yeah, look at our core competency. We're probably the third biggest brokerage house and from customs view. From a containerized delivery point, what we specialize in is rail off wharf to hub and then road delivery from hub. So rail's an important, if we're handling 200-300 containers a week, it's the best way to get containers off port in Auckland. And then we have a fleet of trucks for delivery.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's quite an advantage. Do you see that some of the shipping lines try to step on your turf, so to speak? I mean, it's very modern with some of the big ones to offer door-to-door, so kind of getting rid of the forwarder in between. Do you see that in New Zealand too?
Yes, we're seeing that growth. I guess from our view in New Zealand, acquisition of major forwarders by the shipping lines will probably speed that up. You know, we read about Bolloré and CMACGM, and we wonder about Schenker's maybe potentially being acquired by one of the big three shipping lines, seems to be what's going to happen. So we probably, our view on that is probably it won't be organic, it will be by acquisition.
They earned let's say kind of too much during the corona, and now they have to put the money somewhere, I guess. But it does seem that the rates, I suppose, even to New Zealand has come down again, hasn't it? I mean, it's they were very arrogant to some of them before and fully booked, and you could hardly get space. How is the situation now for getting your trade?
Yeah, New Zealand has a concern as a trading nation at the bottom of the world. We're really dependent on attracting shipping lines to ensure continuity of trade. Our fear is that we become a waypoint with transshipment over Sydney and lose our direct services. So it's really important we get better productivity going through our ports.
Yeah,
it's important we get better infrastructure with our rail and road to make it easier for the shipping lines. And like everywhere else, our import rates have come from a high of maybe between 12 and 16,000 during COVID to pre-Christmas 22 of around 4,500 per F, and it's now dropped to around 1,200 per F from China. So we're back at pre-COVID levels, which is good for the cargo owner. But we worry shipping lines like TSL from China. They had 7 ships on the trade. Now they only have 3. And that's purely a volume equation.
Of course, that is a concern. But I think you have on your, in Australia, you have very great help from the Australian port workers. Some of them are not, they are not the most efficient in the world. So
yes, they're keeping up their end of the deal.
I think they should be able to support you on that. At least that's what I hear.
A lot of truth in that.
Interesting. So your job, mainly, John, in Flyway, you need to develop the overseas bit for the company and really get you into the mainstream, so to speak?
Yeah, look, we're on a growth pattern. And for Flyway, we're heavily involved in industrials. We have a lot of exposure to retail, would be what you call an electronics whiteware forwarder. We do the full supply chain. So we do air and ocean. We do 3PL, and we do that particularly well with 80,000 square meters.
Wow.
And then we do distribution, whether that be home delivery or to DC, with our Uber type app for home delivery. We also have a special projects division covering transport and air and ocean. And the areas we play in for that are the telcos, as they continue to develop, oil, gas. We do a lot of medical hardware, think scanners, anything fragile. And we do plant equipment industry.
That's very interesting. And of course, as you develop your ports, there will also be equipment coming in from the ports, cranes and whatnot, so that you can do the... Basically, you can do the whole palette here of services to anyone.
Yeah, that's the way we view life in terms of the ability to provide. If we don't have the own asset ourselves, we have a project team of experts and project managers who can manage the suite of services.
Yeah. But with your location in the world, and of course, looking from my... when I look at my world map here on the wall, you are really far away. But of course, you would say the same to me. But what kind of, you mentioned it's important that you attract shipping lines to call you direct so you don't become some waypoint. What other challenges do you have being so far away? I mean, can you tell our viewers something that you see on from time to time that we might not think about sitting in Europe or North America?
Yeah, it's really good. It really comes down to perspective, right? So when we look at our place in the world, we firmly view it as Pacific Asia. So when we look at Pacific Asia, flight times to US are 12 hours, which may seem a lot, but it's one flight. 9 hours up to Singapore, 4 hours to Australia, and so for us, I think the challenge is to keep both. Tourism has taken care of air freight because we have a lot of passenger flights,
Oh, yeah, of course.
so that's been quite advantageous for air freight.
Yeah, sure.
So tourism's kept that alive. We don't have a lot of freighters, but we've brought in a couple of freighters last year, air
Oh,
freight
yeah.
charters.
Okay, cool.
That's freely available. As I say, I think challenge for New Zealand, we're still a relatively young country that needs a lot of infrastructure spend. And so over the next 10 years, there's a realization at all levels in government and private industry that we will need development and infrastructure spend, which is an opportunity for our industry.
Definitely. No, it's well, as I said, and also my viewers heard already, you have one of the most beautiful countries in the world. I hear that from whoever I meet, and certainly your products do you credit. Now, it's interesting with your location, and may I just ask a couple of questions? The relationship you have with Australia, of course, it's friendly banter, and we joke on each other, just like I joke on the Danes and they joke on the Swedes. But from a trade perspective, you are like a free trade zone, right? So if you don't have any duties between each other, and you can move, if you want to move to Australia, you can do so without
It's
any.
really interesting. The special relationship is called the CER, Close Economic Relationship. And that's been in existence since the late 70s. So it's a very long term. It's gone through various iterations, but in broad concept, there is no duty. There's still taxes. The relative GSTs are payable. So we're not like a European community. There's still VAT equivalent or GST payable, and freedom of movement of peoples is good. We've been through various stages where there have been no passports. At the moment, we have passports, and after 4 years, New Zealand can secure a passport in Australia. So it's not quite like the EU, but it's heading there.
It's getting there, yeah. what would you say the Pacific Islands? I mean, I still recall one of my ex-wives, the first marriage I actually had, we went on a honeymoon to Fiji and we flew via Auckland. And that reminds me about the Pacific Islands. You are close to there, and you regard yourself as such. Which islands would you say in the Pacific do you have special relationship with, being from New Zealand? Is there any special deal there?
Yeah, look, there is. And I'm just running through it. Cook Islands, Rarotonga, we have a strong affinity. They use our currency. Samoa and Tonga, primarily because we've had a lot of the migrant workers come and make New Zealand home. So we have a strong affinity with both those countries. And then Fiji, due to its size,
For sure,
once
yeah.
again, due to the political upheaval they've had over the last 30 years, we've had a lot of migrants come from Fiji as well. A lot of trade, a lot of aid goes up to those Pacific Islands. Without being too political, the political environment is you've got China trying to woo the nations and do investment, and America has woken up to this, so then they're on the front foot trying to woo those islands as well. So what can we expect out of that? We can expect more capital, more infrastructure, more projects.
Exactly. Where one tries to outbid the other to get influence. It's
Yeah,
that's politics, but that's the same in Europe here. Don't worry about the politicians. They always have a job after they retire.
Yes,
So
they
that,
do.
the same here in my country. You know, there's after they retire, then they get a job as a consultant regulating the
You got it.
industry that they were in before. So
Exactly.
very good.
Exactly.
No, but John, really, it's while I'm asking these questions, and not necessarily just logistics, it's for viewers to understand your location in the world and the huge area, albeit small islands, and where you are located, that there is a lot of trade going on there. It's just very few actually know about it. And that's why I was
Yeah.
asking this.
Yeah, that's good, Bowen. And I guess we shouldn't forget French territories as well. And we've got to remember there's Tahiti out there and Niue and those French territories still receive a lot of aid from France and special status.
May I ask one of the final questions here, John? Do you have a lot of trade with companies like Chile, like Brazil, like South America? Because if you continue over the ocean, you come to the come to them. Is there a lot of trade with South America?
Well, interesting. We've got two impediments to that trade. One, the distance, and it is a long way, and it's on the verge of air freight, and there's not the shipping line services you'd expect. And you then the second impediment is we're both in the southern hemisphere, and we're both agricultural nations, so we're probably more competitors on the world stage
For
than
the for the wines and stuff. That's for sure. I do see in the local shop here Chilean and New Zealand wine. So that's for you
There
probably. There it is. Okay, I got it. Okay, John, I must say really interesting to talk to you, and glad that we could make it in spite of this time difference. Here it is, 9:39 a.m. What is it at your place right now?
it's 7:39, Bo.
It's really some time difference. I was thinking
Is.
last night when I got a message from you, my God, is he already up? But then, of course, it's morning your time. So, okay. I want to say formally, John, many, many thanks for giving me this
Appreciate it.
interview.
Yeah, no, well, enjoyed, Bo, and look forward to meeting person to person at some stage as well, right?
You can count on that. I'll use you as an excuse just to fly there, I can tell you.
Yeah,
Okay. So, to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. John Gundy. He is the General Manager, Air and Ocean at Flyway. He's based in Auckland in the beautiful country of New Zealand. So now you know, certainly, to go and visit New Zealand and speak to John if you ever need anything regarding logistics. For me, thank you very much, and stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.